You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, welcome to MLB.com Extras. Today we are talking Mets baseball, and there's a lot to talk about. We bring in Wayne Randazzo, who's filling in for Anthony DiComo. Wayne, free agent market finally broke open last night. Jay Bruce decides to reunite with the Mets on a three-year, $39 million deal. What was your initial reaction to the signing?
Well, the initial reaction for me was what you just mentioned. The years and the money that Jay Bruce was looking for is not what he got. I know that he was thinking he'd be somewhere around the four-year, $60 million mark, you know, maybe at the very least. And it turns out that he had to accept a lot less than that. As the Mets made the offer, he pounced right on it and signed it. So it seemed like, you know, I don't even know if there was any other comparable offers out there, but it seemed like 3 and 39 was the best that Jay would get, and that's what he took.
Who do you believe this deal benefits more, Bruce or the team?
Well, I mean, certainly the Mets get a lot out of this. I think they get at a pretty good value a guy that is going to hit a lot of home runs, who still has a lot of good baseball left in him. And, a guy's not going to break the bank. I think that it's important to have a clubhouse leader in there. And we talked about that last week, that this team was in desperate need of somebody that could be a voice in that clubhouse, because they traded so many of those guys that they lost a lot of leadership. So I think he brings a tremendous amount of leadership to this team. So, you know, as far as where he'll play, you know, I'm sure they'll have him in right field a lot of the time. I'm sure he could play first base some. And, I still think there's going to be room for a guy like Juan Lagares to still get enough playing time in center field between, you know, Conforto, some uncertainty there as far as when he'll be able to play. You know, if Jay Bruce is playing first base on a given day, obviously Lagares would play center. And then, you know, just Cespedes, you hope that you have him out there for the large majority of the games. But, you know, if he does need a few days off here and there, then, again, you have Lagares who could play left, who could play center field, and Conforto could scoot over to left.
I think the big question for Mets fans is, and I know they're excited about Jay Bruce because they like what he's brought to the team already, but why do the Mets prefer to bring players back rather than bring in fresh blood?
Yeah, I think there's just a comfortability there. If you're going to bring in a guy who's a left-handed hitter with power, first base outfield type, you know, Jay Bruce probably is the best option anyway. I think that he's up there as far as still being able to produce. I mean, he had a very good season last year. He was a guy who had over 30 home runs. I mean, if you're not looking at a guy like J.D. Martinez, if that's out of your price range, or an Eric Hosmer, then you're kind of looking at that next tier. And, you know, Jay Bruce is probably one of the better options there. So why not bring in a guy that you know, that knows you, that's already performed as a member of the Mets, that has respect in the clubhouse? I think it's just a matter, it's almost like they re-signed their own player. I mean, you almost have to kind of take out the fact that he was in Cleveland, although that might have been part of the reason why he came back. You know, he got to know Mickey Callaway a little bit there. There's, again, just another extra layer of comfort there for Jay Bruce. So, you know, I think it makes a lot of sense that these two know each other, that there's, you know, already a sense that they know what they're going to get from one another. And, you know, I don't look at it as a negative by any means, that they brought back a player that performed for them.
How successful does Jay Bruce have to be this season in order for the signing to be considered a success?
Well, I think they know what they're going to get out of him. He just needs to do it. I don't, this is not a guy that has ever been inconsistent. I think that throughout his career, if you look at his numbers year in and year out, you know, they're virtually the same. I think this is just who Jay Bruce is. He's going to pop 30 home runs. He's going to drive in close to 100 runs. You know, he's not going to hit for an incredibly high average. He'll give you what he gives you defensively. They hope that, you know, maybe a little bit more comfort at first base will help him be a better first baseman than he's been in the past, or at least more of a first baseman than he'd been in the past. I think that's important that they get him some time there. But otherwise, you know, I don't think there's going to be any surprises. There's not going to be some incredible career year out of him. There's not going to be some dramatic dip in his production either. I think that Jay is who he is, and he's still at a spot in his career, still at an age where he's going to produce it the way that he's produced the first 8-9 years of his career.
All right, so the Mets get an outfielder who can play a little bit of first base, which is exactly what they were looking for. They were also looking for a second baseman, and they were hoping that they could also poach a guy from the Indians potentially in Jason Kipnis, but the front office shot that deal down. Why?
Yeah, who knows? I think that, you know, with Kipnis, you get a guy with some value who is, you know, certainly another guy who can be a leader, who's had a very good last few years, except for 2017. He kind of struggled with injuries, and, you know, maybe that scared off the Mets. They didn't want to punch through a deal that was with somebody who was coming off an injury-plagued season. You know, they certainly have enough of their own guys who are in that same position. Maybe they didn't want to add another one. You know, maybe they feel like there's still somebody out there in free agency that is a better fit. You know, it's not necessary that they get a second baseman. They can also get a third baseman. Asdrubal Cabrera has the flexibility, and sort of Wilmer Flores, for that matter, to move around the infield. So if they get a third baseman, well, then Cabrera could just as easily slide over to second base as he could start at third. I think he's just kind of penciled in at third right now, but that doesn't mean that he can't just as easily play second base. So, you know, if they do go and grab a Todd Frazier to play third base, well, then Cabrera could just play second. So, you know, maybe they have their eyes out there on somebody else. I think Frazier is a pretty good fit for them. You know, they have to be a little careful about adding just another power guy who isn't much of a base runner or anything like that, because they've got a lot of those guys. But, you know, I think Todd Frazier, you know, a guy from the Northeast, he just played in New York last year as a member of the Yankees. So, you know, Jay Bruce, well, certainly from their time in Cincinnati. So I think that's a guy who's a great fit for them. And, you know, if the contract numbers work out in the Mets' favor, I think Frazier at third, Cabrera at second is just as good as Cabrera at third and Kipnis at second.
Yeah, it could be interesting, too, because I feel like Todd Frazier's price could be driven up a little bit because a lot of people are looking at maybe a second-tier third baseman. The Mike Moustakas are too expensive. Obviously, the Manny Machados might not even be on their radar, but it could be interesting, the bidding war for Todd Frazier, especially between the two New York teams, so we'll see how that plays out. Do you feel like there are more reunions in the future? Neil Walker, Jose Reyes, even maybe in the bullpen, Addison Reed coming back?
Yeah, I think it's extremely possible that if Frazier doesn't sign with the Mets, that, you know, Walker or Reyes could be the next look for them. You know, I think Walker is a guy who, again, you know, adds tremendous value as far as a leader. You know, Reyes at least has the ear of Ahmed Rosario, and that could be helpful for the Mets to have somebody that Rosario looks up to while he's maneuvering himself to be an everyday player at the major league level for the first time. And, you know, Addison Reed, you know, it's not to say the Mets couldn't use another reliever. So, you know, I think that even with Anthony Swarzak down there joining Blevins and Ramos and Familia, that you could, if you threw in another arm and, you know, their bullpen kind of turns into a strength at that point, that, you know, you'd really have a bunch of guys down there that you could turn to. And it sounds like Mickey Callaway knows what he needs to do to get the most out of all of his relievers. So I think if you can add more strength to that pen, then you're in even better shape than you were. So, you know, I don't know that they'll add a reliever and an infielder. You know, maybe they'll just go one route and not the other. I think the infielder is more of a priority for them than the reliever is. But, you know, I think that the patience here will pay off. You know, as we've talked about, this market has been incredibly slow. And that will only favor teams looking to get players at more of a discount. You know, maybe Eric Hosmer or J.D. Martinez, the Yu Darvish, the upper echelon free agents will still sign the bigger contracts. But it seems like the other guys, even Mike Moustakas maybe, will have to accept less than what they thought. Certainly Jay Bruce did.
Yeah, that could be pretty interesting to see how that all plays out. Mets were also linked to the Pirates, talking about Andrew McCutchen. Is that off the table now with the signing of Jay Bruce?
Not necessarily. I think that we still have Lagares as a chip there. If you moved him to Pittsburgh, you could open up a spot in the outfield. you know, again, I think there's still playing time for Lagares. I think that, you know, just because Jay Bruce is in the fold, you know, we saw it last year. The Mets had essentially five outfielders. Curtis Granderson was still a part of the group last year. And, you know, they ended up needing all of them. You know, it's not necessarily the case that just because you have four guys who could start and there's three obvious starters there with Bruce, Conforto, and Cespedes, doesn't mean you won't need Lagares. So I think that there's still value for him on the team. And if you get a guy like Andrew McCutchen, you know, maybe you have to play Jay Bruce at first base a little bit more. Maybe that cuts out Dom Smith in some ways. So, you know, I think if the Mets can still better themselves somewhere, that they should try to look at that. So, you know, maybe less likely now, but yeah, I don't think that it's completely impossible they make that move.
Who from the Pirates do you think is more unlikely to come over to the Mets, Andrew McCutchen or Josh Harrison?
Well, Harrison still fits, you know, a lot better than McCutchen does, mm-hmm. because he can play on the infield, and that's what the Mets, that's the next check for the Mets to mark off is getting that second baseman or third baseman. So, you know, I think Harrison, no injury history there. He's been to a couple All-Star games. He's a good player. He's a guy that's well-liked in Pittsburgh. He's an effort guy. And I think that the Mets, you know, I think if they did pull the trigger on that deal, they'd be happy with the return. But, you know, there's still a lot of avenues this team could go down to get that extra infielder. And there's still some time, even though, you know, spring training starts in about a month. You know, it's not out of the question they wait even until closer to that to make their final move.
All right, Wayne, as we wrap up the podcast here, want to get one quick thought about the future of this organization. MLB Pipeline's Jonathan Mayo caught up with Dominic Smith at last weekend's Rookie Career Development Program, and here's what he had to say.
2017, in a lot of ways, was an exciting year for you. Have you had a chance to look back and have a little perspective of like, all right, well, I mean, my goal has always been to make it to the big leagues, and I made it to the big leagues.
Definitely. You know, I definitely took a little bit of time this offseason to reflect on 2017, for sure. It definitely was a big year for me. I finally made my debut, and that's obviously a dream come true, but you know, I wasn't satisfied with how I played in the big leagues. So, you know, sometimes it takes my family to really sit me down and really just kind of get me to understand what I accomplished over the year, because I always get caught up in, you know, being a competitor and going out there competing every day. So I definitely have taken a chance to sit back and really enjoy and reflect on 2017.
Looking at the struggles that you had, you know, when you were up in New York, what were your lessons that you learned? Like, okay, this is what I need to work on because I know I can do these things better.
I think majority of the stuff that I needed to work on and learn, and which I did learn up there, was to just stay mentally strong. You know, sometimes you beat up yourself too much, or sometimes you get down on yourself because you have a bad game, and then those games start to pile up, and then a week piles up, and next thing you know, you can't, you know, get yourself out the hole. So I definitely learned I have to be mentally strong and have to be mentally prepared every day, and I have to just go in every day ready to fight.
How much will that help you as you head into spring training with, if not, you know, not a guaranteed job, but obviously a chance to win an everyday job in the big leagues?
I think the whole experience of my last 6 weeks definitely helped prepare me for this spring training. I'm getting able to be around those guys and learn their routines and see what it takes to be a big leaguer every day, see their routines and see what you have to do to prepare yourself on an everyday basis. I definitely did, you know, take that into consideration. I took that in, implemented it into my game, and I'm looking forward to show them what I learned in spring training.
I don't want to harp, you know, too much on the weight and the conditioning, but we saw you here, and I mean, you look like you're in tremendous shape. What have you been doing this off season to prepare from a physical standpoint and work on conditioning, nutrition, things like that?
I just continuously to implement and make sure that I'm eating the right foods, make sure that I'm waking up and hitting my workouts in every day. And, you know, that's something that I've been consistent with over the last, you know, couple of years, the workout part. And, you know, the diet part is obviously coming around a lot better. And, you know, I know what my body needs to get into this kind of shape. So it's a lot easier for me to get ready for seasons.
Okay, a couple fun questions for you. What's your go-to uniform number? Like, if you had one uniform number you could wear, and why?
Uniform number?
Number, yeah.
22. 22 is my go-to number. I dated a girl when I was in high school. I was a freshman, and she was a senior, and she played softball. and she ended up going to Texas, and she wore number 22. But my favorite number was 7, and being a freshman on my high school team, you know how the seniors, they get leeway with the numbers. And so the senior at the time, his name was Larry Brown, he had number 7, and you know, she used to hit me ground ball all the time, and she told me, hey, you might as well just change to deuce. So I decided to change to 22.
What's the craziest experience that you've had in baseball?
I think the craziest experience I probably had in baseball, I've been around a lot of stuff. I think one of my craziest moments I've been a part of was when I was in AA, and and my teammate, Matt Oberste, we went back-to-back twice in one game, and it was pretty sick, you know. To go back-to-back once is pretty cool, but to do it twice in the same game, you know, it was definitely a day that I remember.
Do you have a favorite Major League Baseball memory, like when you were a kid going to a game or watching a game, something that sticks out when you were a kid as a baseball fan?
I know the stuff that sticks out when I was 7 and I was just getting into baseball. I would watch every big league game that came on TV. I would wear my T-ball uniform and watch those games. So I think that was one of my funniest moments and memories for sure. And that's something that I'll never forget.
All right, so we heard what Dom had to say. What do you believe is Dominic Smith's future with this team, Wayne?
Well, I think that he makes his own future here. I think that he still will have the opportunity. I still think first base will be his job to lose. You know, they didn't sign a guy in Jay Bruce that is an honest first baseman. You know, having Adam Lind, you know, that's a first baseman who can play the outfield. Bruce is an outfielder who can play first base. And, you know, to ask Jay to strap on that first baseman and give you 135 games there, I think would be asking way too much. So, you know, I still think that Dom has the route to play first base, that he's still the guy there. And, you know, he's going to have to show the Mets that he belongs. It's up to him. You know, it's no different than Rosario. I mean, if Rosario struggles to play short and can't hit, well, then the Mets are going to have to look at other options, and I don't think they're going to need to. I think Rosario will be fine there, but you know, I think whenever you're a rookie trying to break through on a team that's, you know, still trying to contend, I think the Mets have belief that 2018 will be a much better year than 2017. You know, Dom's going to have to produce. The kid gloves will be off, and he's going to have to show them that he belongs at the major league level and can play every day.
Wayne, before we let you go, let me just speak to that real quick and get your prediction. Now that Jay Bruce has signed back with the Mets, where do you think they finish in this division?
I mean, they have to be a second-place team. You know, you still look at Washington like it's you know, the incumbent champion. That's the team that to beat still. A team that really is going into its last year of knowing that it's going to be a playoff contender. You know, who knows what that team's going to look like if Harper and Murphy are gone after 2018. So, you know, it's really it for the Nationals. They're going to be tough to knock off. But the rest of the division, the Phillies, Braves, Marlins, even though Philadelphia is going to be better, you know, the Mets should still finish ahead of them. But, you know, if the pitching's not there, this team's not going to go anywhere. So as long as they get Syndergaard, DeGrom, Matt, some of these guys to come back and pitch well, Matt Harvey, then 2018 should look a lot brighter. And maybe more like 2016 when this team made it to the wild card game.
Yeah, Mets fans like hearing that for sure. All right, that's going to do it for us here on MLB.com Extras, our Mets edition. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode, so make sure you stay tuned. Thanks, Wayne. Appreciate it.
All right, Alexa. Thank you.